We need to realize this incredible attitude of thanksgiving. The American nation is gearing up for their Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. It's the last Thursday of the month of November. And the Americans think that they invented everything. You know, it was in 1620 that the first pilgrims arrived at Plymouth Rock. And in 1621, they had their first Thanksgiving service to thank God for the harvest in that autumn that had taken place. But you know, the Americans didn't invent it. Go back, the English had something in terms of a Thanksgiving that took place many, many years before the Americans did. And if you go back even further, the Japanese have got a festival. It's a Thanksgiving festival as well, and that goes back 2,000 years, but the Chinese beat them all. The Chinese, 2,500 years ago, had a mid-autumn festival, 2,500 years ago. But in the United States, they're going to have their Thanksgiving on Tuesday. They're going to set aside their busy schedules to get together as families and as friends and to say thank you. Thank you to God. I don't know who they say thank you to. Thank you one another. But really, it's to God that they say thanks. And thanks always is to God. And the Word of God tells us that we are to constantly, continually meeting to offer up gratitude and thanks to Him. Let's look at two verses here. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to concentrate on one word here in verse 20, always. Always. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 to 18. Did I only put number 8? Can you quickly change that to 16, 17, and 18? Sorry. Sorry. 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Go to 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to focus on all circumstances. Always. All circumstances. There's one thing that I left out is continually. That should be the attitude of our heart. You know, can we say thank you to God in all those situations? The testimonies that we heard, I mean, they went through difficult times. Everyone spoke about difficult times. Andre and his business, Sybil and her job situation, Chantel and her building and the drama that unfolded with that, Ian and plowing into a sandbank and breaking his neck. All difficult. Can we praise God in those difficult situations? Yes, we can. Let's get a little perspective. A student wrote to her mom years ago, and this is what she said to her mom when she was at university. Dear mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm really has been broken. I broke it and my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had a fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in a few minutes. I was in hospital for a few days, and Paul, the service station attendant, came to see me every day, and because it was taking so long to fix our dormitory and to make it livable again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice. I must admit that I am pregnant. Paul and I have designs to get married, but it's as soon as he gets a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I would write more if I have the chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. Can you imagine receiving a letter like that? But there was a PS. None of the above is true, Mom, but I did get a C for sociology and I failed chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. The proper perspective. Huh? All our circumstances belong to God. So, just moving on with Thanksgiving, there are some things that steal our joy in terms of Thanksgiving. And one of those is pride. You know, you've heard me speak about this song, My Way, I Did It My Way, and pride. You know, I've done this. I've achieved these results. I've got into this business. And I mean, everything starts with the I. And I've accomplished this salary, and I've accomplished this home, and I've built this I. And when you make it about yourself, you forget the most important person, because without God sustaining you and giving you health and giving you life, you would not be able to achieve any of that. So pride robs us of that. Another thing is the critical spirit. The critical spirit will rob you of any kind of joy that you possibly have in your relationship with the Lord. Last Saturday, we had a leader's braai at Sunningdale. And Andrew, once a year, just wants to say thank you to guys. And he says, please come. I want to just extend my thanks to you leaders, the comm leaders, the deacons, the elders. And we have a wonderful time together. But as we were driving there, I'm thinking, it's Saturday afternoon. I mean, I can do better things on a Saturday afternoon than drive all the way for an hour to Sunningdale. I mean, look at the wind. This is a black southeaster. You can't even see the mountain. And we're going to sit outside and have a braai. And I was just moaning. And my wife was sitting there, it's going to be okay, Snooki. It's going to be okay. And she was just shaking her head like, shame, this poor man, you know. And I got there and I said, look at this wind. I can't even get out of the car. And I began to participate, and I realized, what the frot attitude I had. See, I don't think our critical spirit is just a petty personality flaw, but I think it's kind of a serious sin against God directly. In Exodus chapter 15, the Israelites, they get out of Egypt supernaturally. God comes to their rescue, and they are delivered out of a place of slavery, and they are led out of Egypt by Moses. But they moan. They whine. They're critical, and they complain about everything. I mean, God just did an amazing thing there. And so they come out, and I mean, they start off, when Moses appears before Pharaoh, they say, you've made our jobs more difficult as slaves. I mean, how difficult can a job be with slavery? But they say to Moses, because you're going to Pharaoh, you're making our jobs more difficult. And then they go out of Egypt, and then they start complaining. You know, we long for the leeks, garlics, and onions that we had back in Egypt. But now we have to feed on this manna. I mean, manna every day. I mean, they speak as though they were bellying up to Pharaoh's festive buffet. But they weren't. They were slaves. And their moaning and their complaining is not a dissatisfaction about their circumstances, but it's discontent with the way God has pulled them out. They got out of slavery, for goodness sake. And really, they are saying to God, we wish you hadn't saved us. And then they get to the Red Sea. And they get to the Red Sea and they say to Moses, yeah, look what you've brought us to. Here comes the Egyptian army. There's the Red Sea. We're going to die here in the desert. We wish that we had died back in Egypt. moan, whine. Bunch of Christians are like that too. Only some of you that are smiling at me, right? And sometimes we need to realize, man, our whining, our criticism, our dissatisfaction is really discontent with God Himself. We need to repent of that all the time. Another thing that can steal your joy is carelessness. Somebody once said, if the stars came out once a year, all of us would stay up all night to look at the stars, because they're there every night. We don't even bother to look at the stars anymore. Get so accustomed to all our blessings. God supernaturally gave these Israelites manna. It wasn't just white bread that has no nutritional value to it. It was manna that was, they had lots of nutrition in that manna. And God supernaturally gave it to them every single day, except on the Sabbath. And they were allowed to collect this twice as much on the day before to sustain them through the Sabbath. And God supernaturally did that. But they couldn't get to that place where they just said, thank you, God. Yeah, this manna every day. We want meat. God gave them quail. God gave them their desires. You know, sometimes God gives us the desires of our heart, but in that he brings leanness of soul. You know, Rudyard Kipling was a great author, great journalist, great poet, guy that wrote Jungle Book. And when he was alive, he was one of the few guys that was able to enjoy some of his wealth while he was living. And one newspaper journalist worked out that he was earning probably about $100 for every word that he wrote. So successful he was. So the journalist went to him the one day and said, Mr. Kipling, I believe that you earn $100 for every word that you write. And he raised his eyebrows and he said, I wasn't aware of that. I didn't realize that. That's interesting. And the journalist put his hand arrogantly into his pocket and pulled out a $100 note and said, I want to give you this if you can give me a $100 word. So Rudyard Kipling took it, looked at it, folded it, put it into his pocket and said, thanks, and walked away. $100 word, thanks. I think thank you can be $100,000 word. Maybe even $1 million word. If we expressed it a little bit more often. But that word is seldom heard, rarely spoken, and very easily forgotten. Thanks. Not expressing our thanks to God robs us. So, thanks should be expressed. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and give thanks to him and praise his name. How about Psalm 107 and verse 1? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's interesting that all the testimonies show that. His love endures forever. God leads us through difficult circumstances. You remember there was a time, it's recorded in Luke 17, where Jesus is confronted with 10 lepers. You know, with leprosy, you had to be a certain distance. But Jesus goes right up towards them, and they say, please heal us. And Jesus declares healing over them. And he said, go and show yourself to the priests. And so all 10 of them are instantaneously healed, and they make their way. And as they make their way, they are more healed. And as they make their way to the priests, they are just filled with such incredible joy. They had to get a certificate of cleanliness or health, whatever, from the priests. But one of them turns around and he comes back. And he says, thank you to Jesus. Jesus said, why is it that only one, a Gentile, a Samaritan, comes to me? Where are the other 9? And then Jesus says this very interesting thing here in Luke 17 and verse 19. Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Don't you find that a little strange? I mean, Jesus healed all 10 of them. They're going to show themselves to the priests. But Jesus says to this one, your faith has made you well. They were all healed. What is Jesus speaking about here? The one came back to say thank you, and Jesus says to him, your faith has made you well. I think it was more than just physical healing. I think it was spiritual healing and mental healing as well. Jesus at that moment made him whole. Because he said thank you. Such power in having an attitude of gratitude. Psychologists today say that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest form of human emotions. Hans Selye, I think that's how you pronounce it. Is that how you pronounce it? It's Selye. You don't know. I don't know. Okay. He's considered as the father of stress studies, has said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. A thankful heart endears us to others. A thankful heart endears others to us. When it comes to God, a thankful heart, when we see God working in our lives, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. A thankful heart endears us towards God, but gratitude always endears God to us as well. And when we don't say thank you, we become like Paul talks about those that don't give thanks. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, let's look at that. Romans 1, verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. I mean, what does that imply? It means that if we are ungrateful to God, we will probably soon fall away and our hearts will become hardened. We allow pride, we allow carelessness, we allow ingratitude to keep us from being grateful and thankful to God. So how can we be thankful to God? Let me just give you a couple of suggestions. Spend time with Him. I mean, some of the prophetic song that came out this morning, this is, we want to seek your heart, Lord. You're grateful to God when you forgive others. You're grateful to God when you serve and participate in the life of the church. You participate and you're grateful to God when you are sharing in His plan of salvation with others. When you reach out to hurting people, you participate and you are giving gratitude to God when you are praising Him enthusiastically from the heart. These are some of the ways in which we are grateful to God. So thanksgiving should be a huge blessing in our lives. And we will see the blessing of God in our lives on a daily basis. I have a lovely wife. All through this drought period, she washed the dishes. She said, the dishwasher uses too much water. The dishwasher was broken anyway, so we didn't have it fixed for a while. But she stood. And I often imagined her standing in front of the dishes and saying, thank you, God, for all the dishes. But she didn't do that. But really, we should say, thank you, God, for these dishes. Because when we've got those dirty dishes, we've had the food to feed our bellies. You're better than you look. There are anticipated 815 million people that go to bed hungry every night. 815 million people. Most of that is in a third world country. The population in the world today is 7.6 billion. But 815 million people go to bed hungry. So when you go to bed with your stomach full, thank you, God. Thank you for that. We should say thank you to God not only for the blessings, but for the struggles and the burdens of life. I mean, Paul wrote these words, give thanks in all circumstances, but Paul had his struggles and his issues as well. I mean, many think that Paul got it a little bit wrong, but he had his thorn in the flesh. He was run out of town. He was beaten. He was whipped. When last were you beaten and whipped for your Christian faith? He was imprisoned. He was betrayed by friends. He experienced cold, hunger, nakedness. He was shipwrecked. And he was stoned and left for dead. And he says, give thanks to God in all circumstances. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. God is going to do something in your life through those difficult situations, through those difficult sufferings, and will reveal something, whether it's in this life or in the life to come, but probably is in this life. He's working character in you. You know, God is in the business of bringing us to that place where He's preparing. This life is just a preparation for us for all eternity to spend with Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. I'll just read it. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. When I am weak, then I am strong. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And then Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served in advance to the gospel. What did he have to go through? What he went through is just simply advancing the gospel. So I'm grateful to God for what he had done, for what he is doing in people. Those that gave testimony about their struggles this morning, God is going to bring it to glory one day, and they're going to benefit from those experiences. I remember that story in Acts where Peter and Silas are in jail. They've been captured because of their testimony and their preaching, and they've been put into a Philippian jail. And they decide that they're going to start singing, and so they start singing. And God causes an earthquake, and an earthquake comes, and the prison doors fling open, and the rocks, the walls come crashing down, and the prisoners can all escape, but Paul says, Peter says, no, don't do that. So the Philippian jailer, who is responsible for these, if he has a prisoner escape, he's going to be in a pretty difficult situation. And he wants to kill himself. Peter says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. He came, his entire family came to faith because of their expression of gratitude in the jail. The blessings, the burdens, and the benefits. The benefits. There are incredible benefits that come when our heart is filled with gratitude. Chris Moore, a country singer, can listen to his songs. Jeff Moore, sorry. Sang this song. Well, I wonder what today we'll see. Will I find my dreams or stare in the face of tragedy? Whatever may come, whatever may be, of this I am sure, I'm forgiven and free, and I will live as I believe. It is good to be alive. It's good to be alive, to feel the wind on my face, to see the blue in the sky. It's days like this that I realize what a gift it is to be alive. It's good to be alive. There was an experiment that took place with a marketing company in New York. And they dressed up a guy as a beggar, and they put him on the street corner, and he had dark glasses on and a sign in front of him, and he was holding a cup. And the sign said, "I'm blind." The whole day he collected $4. The next day they dressed him up, put him on another street corner. Same thing. Had a cup in his hand, but the sign said, "It's spring and I'm blind." He collected $40 that day. Why? Because people realized as they walked past how blessed they were, because they could see. They could see the flowers. They could see the green grass coming out at the beginning of spring. They could see the beauty around them. It's spring. I can see, but this man can't. And I'll help him and bless him. There are incredible blessings that come as a result of giving thanks to the Lord. I just want to finish off by saying Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who died just at the end of the Second World War, just days before the end of the war took place. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this: "It's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. It's only with gratitude that life becomes rich." Have you been through difficult times? How's it going with you? Are you overwhelmed by the burdens that life is giving to you? I want to say to you, keep on keeping on, keep on persevering, and keep on giving thanks to God all the time. Henry Frost was a missionary to China, and in his journal he wrote about the difficult year that he had experienced, and he said, "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an island station and saw on the wall these words, 'Try thanksgiving.' I did, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return." I think the psalmist is right when he says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Thank Him in all circumstances and in all situations. Now, to finish off, I'm going to ask you to do something. Turn to the person sitting next to you and say to them, this is my question: what are you grateful to God for right now? Let's do it. Why am I grateful right now? With a hymn and, yeah. Carl has chosen a hymn for us to sing. We're going to do something traditional. Christmas is coming. Yeah, let's stand as we finish off with a hymn, and let's realize the goodness of our God.
So I had this on my heart the whole week. I don't know where I heard it recently, but it's the hymn, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And I just looked it up now just to see who wrote it. It was written by a guy called William Featherston in 1864. And amazingly, this boy was between 12 and 16 when he wrote the words to this hymn, these absolutely deep words. So, and I think in line with what Richard has preached on, I think it's a beautiful song to end with. "My Jesus, I love thee. I know that thou art mine." So for the Afrikaans guys here, I know it's a lot of these and thous, but you'll push through. And the words are absolutely beautiful. Ben Louis, have you got the words? Okay, cool. Let's go for it. Jesus.
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior on thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee 'cause thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love
morning, Lord, we want to say we love you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Our hearts are filled with gratitude. Our hearts are filled with gratitude because of your work on the cross. You sending the Holy Spirit, you preparing a place for us in heaven. Thank you for all of that. Thank you for what you've given to us. Wonderful families, beautiful homes that we can enjoy. Thank you for having enough food each day to enjoy. We thank you, God, for your many, many, many blessings. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude this morning. As we leave this place, we ask, Lord, that we would express that gratitude over and over again to people that we love, people that have meant so much to us, people that are a blessing to us. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless, guys.